Is it still Tuesday, Craig? No, it's Wednesday now. Do we do this game tonight?
To us, I still think it's Tuesday.
So I feel like I'm in limbo because of the Blackhawks loss.
Yes,
and I've been
watching
all of the primary returns in New York and all the results.
Got it.
And there are a couple things I'm trying to wrap my mind around. Esmeralda, what have you I know we had the game on and we were all listening to it at one point. I mean, it started getting exciting again. I was standing in the newsroom and there was a late goal and then there was a fight and Shaw got taken off the ice and he was in the penalty box. And then I was watching Sean Hannity talk about how the Republican establishment is going to disenfranchise the millions of voters who are picking Trump. So I'm a little
bit... Did anybody get put into the box there?
I feel like voters want to put the Republican establishment in the... In the penalty box.
Penalty 2 minutes.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I understand what happened tonight. I told Craig at one point that I had Gregorian chanting going on my computer just to sort of balance all the information that was going, because we have televisions, we have four TVs on different channels. I was trying to absorb all that information, plus follow social media, and try to remember to invite people to WGN Night at New Country. Last Monday night, we had actor, writer, comedian Mark Roberts on the show. He was the creator of Mike and Molly. He was also one of the head writers on Two and a Half Men. He has written a new play called New Country. It's at the Den Theater, which is on Milwaukee Avenue, and I want to invite our listeners. We're having WGN Night this Thursday. Esmeralda, what time do you go to work? I forget now what time you start.
I am here at 10 p.m.
You can come with us. The show is an hour and a half. I should probably Google and find what time the show starts. because there's no intermission. It's an hour and 15-minute play, hour and 15 to about an hour and a half. And there's no intermission, and it's a very small space. So if you like left, it would be very obvious. You would actually be walking into the scene.
Oh, boy.
It's so cool.
Pay no attention to the lady walking through.
Just sort of, yeah. You know what? It all happens in a hotel room, and you could be like, you know, room service, and then just...
Like, wrong room.
Wrong room.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Here? No? Okay.
No. Coming through. Excuse me. It's a great show. I'm actually going to go see it for the second time on Thursday. So I want to invite our listeners. I have a pair of tickets to give away. Let me cheer somebody up right now. We have a pair of tickets to give away to the third caller, 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets to give away. By the way, the bar there, Craig. We should give away one to a texter as well. That's not fair. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah. So a texter.
One set to a texter. One set to a caller.
To a caller. 312-981-7200. It is WGN Night on Thursday, this Thursday, the 21st, at the Den Theater. And we're going to go see New Country. Esmeralda, so come join us. And you know what? We can get you a seat on the edge, like if you absolutely don't want to.
Yeah,
like,
just
in case.
Give me them details.
The deets? Yeah. I'm going to bring you on. You know what? Right. One set of tickets to a caller and one set to a texter. 312-981-7200. And this is not your only chance to win during the rest of the show. We have a short show. We'll give away a couple more pairs throughout the rest of the show. But right now, it's the third caller. And how do we pick which texter, though, right? Is it the first texter? That's kind of a tough thing to do, right? Esmeralda, it's not fair. And then should I do one on Facebook, too?
Should you do a question?
I should for the text screen.
Of some sort.
Interesting. I know. We haven't done enough of this show to quiz anybody on anything. Should I quiz people on, right? Should it go to consistent listeners? So something that who did we leave our celebrity voicemail for, our wake-up call last night or this morning?
Oh, there you go.
So to text 312-981-7200, who did we leave our celebrity wake-up call for at a few minutes before 2 a.m.? We ran out of time. We even interrupted news with that wake-up call.
Yeah, we did.
And I actually,
awesome.
I actually got a text recently from that celebrity.
Okay, did you?
And they thanked us for the very funny voicemail.
Wonderful.
That's my favorite part about the pretty late.
I like leaving voicemails. I actually don't want to wake anyone up ever.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
But how do we warn them in case they're the kind of person that leaves their phone on all the time?
Well, it is kind of a mystery, and I like that too. Are they going to answer? Oh, no. They're not. They don't answer. Yeah. Most people don't answer.
And
but
so
it is nice to kind of have that out there, too.
And we've only had two people who have their outgoing message with their own voice, which were Rose Abdu, who plays Gypsy on Gilmore Girls, and Lewis Black. The comedian Lewis Black, they were the only two that had their own voices on their outgoing message. I am going to be going to L.A. next week, and I promise to collect many more numbers, including, I believe, Carolyn Hennessy, who is...
nice.
She's a character actress who you've seen on Revenge and True Blood, a lot of different TV series. But I've hung out with her a couple times, and I'm going to get her number. I think she would get a kick out of it. Plus, in L.A., it's 2 hours earlier. It's only midnight. It's not as sort of intrusive.
It's more like a good night call at that time.
It is a little bit, yeah.
Right.
But we still have to call it the pretty early. No,
okay.
Pretty late. No, it's pretty late.
The pretty late good night call.
The good night call.
Yeah. for LA.
Exactly.
This name needs some work.
It may. There's so many things we needed to get to tonight, but I want to get to everything. So New Country on Thursday. We're giving away some tickets, but we also invite you to join us. If you don't win the tickets, we'd love to see you there. It's at the Den Theater, and it's such a good play. There's only, I believe there's like, let's see, 5 actors. It's intense. It's intimate. It is for adults. So if you want, well, I mean, I wouldn't bring my son. If you want to bring your 12-year-old, that's entirely up to you. There is some language. There is some content that you may be hesitant about. But by the way, it is not for the squeamish as far as like, it's not politically correct. I'm going to be honest with you. There was one woman, there were gasps in the audience. This is probably important for us to figure out the way to approach this. There was a conversation about, it's a country star who's getting married. And one of the agents or the managers is talking about how great it would be if they got pregnant. And he was saying, especially if they had a kid with special needs. Right? That would be great publicity. And a woman, Esmeralda, gasped in the audience. Like, I was just like, oh, I mean, because I can separate something that's artistically, there are people who talk like that. Right? And that was, and it wasn't, it was just kind of matter of fact, but I could tell that this woman was having a moment where she like gasped and then she relaxed. And do you ever get that moment where you're watching how other people are watching a play or a movie?
Yeah.
Do you ever get sucked into that?
Yeah. Well, especially if I've seen something before and I'm showing it to someone, then I'm more fascinated about how they're reacting to it.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's great. It's sort of an exciting moment to watch.
Well, and if I really like it, I don't know if you've seen it and you really liked it, and then you wanted to see how people reacted to the moments that were your favorite or the moments that you thought
the more shocking
might get, the biggest reaction.
That's how I'll be on Thursday. I'll be watching everybody. I'm going to freak everybody out.
Good.
Because you're sitting on opposite sides of this hotel room, so you actually are, you can see the other side of the audience. Oh, it's so cool. So we look forward to having everyone come out and join us on Thursday night to see New Country. It's at the Den Theater. It's such a good play. I'm kind of excited for you, Craig.
I'm excited. It sounded amazing when we had our guests in. Ooh. And they were describing it.
It was. By the way, Esmeralda, I have good news. It's at 7:30.
Oh, and how long is it?
It is an hour and a half tops.
Okay.
And you know the traffic. You can make it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't move traffic.
If you're out of there by 9.
Yeah, I would have to leave early.
Right.
Would you?
I have to be on air at 10.
It's at 1333 North Milwaukee Avenue.
You could do the first one from the car.
She takes public transportation.
You tell Todd Manley that.
I will drive you. We will haul ass
from
the Den Theater.
Who would be better to do one from the car than the traffic person?
I'm saying.
That
right?
really makes sense, Esmeralda.
You actually have until like 9:04, I mean 10:04-ish.
Right. Yeah, you have until 10:03, 10:04. Yeah, to be honest. Let's split hairs here.
I'm just kidding.
That would be a great report if you're on Lakeshore Drive and you said, you know, traffic's not so bad here. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
That's, you know what, I have a secret wish. This is so bad. I have a secret wish that one of these days I get into it. No one gets hurt. Mm-hmm. I get into an accident, like on the expressway, like a fender bender of some sort. And then I call live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the accident. I'm like, speaking live from that accident, causing a delay.
It's my fault.
Kennedy.
Wow. Not your fault, but I know why there's so much traffic right here. There's a gaper's block.
Now, is that ironic or is that not ironic?
I don't know.
Is that coincidence?
It's an unexpected, it's contrary to what
should
actually happen.
If a traffic reporter gets into an accident, is that ironic?
Can you hear it from a wooded area? Or what? I don't
Google
know.
This.
Yeah, I've been stuck in traffic and I've been running late. And I'm like, is this irony? I don't know.
Yeah, now I have to look up irony.
There's traffic. I couldn't tell you. I'm not good at that.
I'm going to call Alanis. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. No,
she
but
doesn't
see,
know.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
Right. Well, but if she thinks it is, then it's not.
She just decided that coincidence wasn't a good song. Right.
Is it ironic that she doesn't know what irony is and she sang the song? Is that ironic?
I think it is ironic.
Okay, cool.
Okay, then.
I'm glad.
Do we have a text winner for who is our celebrity call? Our celebrity voicemail for 2 tickets to? By the way, we'll open that up to the phone lines then.
Oh, wait. No, wait. 773.
Yes.
Who Former was? Congressman Dan Katowski.
Yes, that is correct.
That is correct.
Former Senator, Illinois Senator Dan Katowski.
This is all correct.
So that listener who texted in the correct answer to our celebrity voicemail, wake up call, does get a pair of tickets to New Country. You can go to theaterinchicago.com for one, the synopsis. In New Country, good old bad boy and country music star Justin Spears has the world on its knees. Tomorrow he's tying the knot, but tonight he's tying one on with his entourage of ruthless managers, faux fans and friends, and his favorite pig farm. Uncle, come on! Oh my God, it's such a good play. So join us on Thursday night for the pretty late WGN radio event. We're going to be at the Den Theater. That is at 1329, also 1333 North Milwaukee Avenue. It's one big building, so there's a couple. It's the theater that is upstairs. So go to theaterinchicago.com. There's also a spot right there for half-price tickets, but we'll be giving away some tickets throughout the rest of the show. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Craig and I have a show rundown that we had ready to go for after the Blackhawks game, but I feel thrown off by tonight's events, one by the loss of the Blackhawks. I'm coming to terms with that we are now, we've fallen two games behind in the series, and we are moving on to St. Louis. We need to win there and then come back and win here and then go back there and win there again. And I think we have to win three more, yes?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. We have to win three without losing any.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't like that at all.
Yeah. It's happened before, though.
Oh yeah, it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
It shall be done.
Can be done.
I don't know if I can say with that kind of authority.
In hockey, actually, they have the most teams that have come back from a 3-0 deficit.
Oh,
yeah, that's the only sport that's had multiple teams do that.
There you go.
Right. So, baseball, it's only happened once. And I don't want to talk about that.
Was it the Red Sox?
Yes, it was.
All right then. It was a beautiful night when they did that. It was like a full moon and everything.
No, it was not. It was terrible.
It was spectacular.
The world
it was so
was
exciting.
Crying.
The only reason it was bad was because they then took it and we could no longer be the sort of
yeah,
loser
no longer
buddies.
Yeah, you had a mutual friend.
Yeah, we didn't have.
Right. Well, maybe this year will change things.
I'm very happy. I've the first week of baseball in Chicago, I started out very giddy. I've settled into enjoying the ride now. We've lost only three games, and that's a fantastic place to be. I know that White Sox fans are also excited. We have to start getting more White Sox fans in the studio. I know that Sam Panionovic, his brother, is playing in the minor leagues for the White Sox. We need to get Pat McGann in here, I think. Maybe there's a couple comics, the Southside comics that I know. They refuse to acknowledge that we're having a good season. I, on the other hand, am very happy for White Sox fans, but they really hate. They hate on us. So that's fine. This year, I feel okay about that. They can hate all they want.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah, but we're both having good seasons.
You're having a better season than they are.
I wasn't going to say that, but thank you very much for mentioning it. I have the primary returns coming up on the screen next to me. I mean, the results are pretty much in. Hillary Clinton has won. Donald Trump has won. I'm trying to wrap my arms around, or my mind, or something. Trying to understand an exit poll, Craig. Esmeralda, listen, everyone, bear with me. See if this makes any sense to you. Because they did a lot of exit polling, and this is on Fox, so I'm not, and they're talking a lot about, there's a lot of conversation regarding the Republican establishment, how the elite in the Republican Party are not pleased with Donald Trump as their candidate. They actually have not been happy with even Ted Cruz as being the, which is one of the reasons many people believe Governor Kasich has stayed in the race, is to be sort of this white knight that comes in and saves the day at the convention in Cleveland. Okay, so this is an exit poll. There's a bunch of things. Like, one of the exit polls said that that Democrats, 87% of Democrats are worried about the economy. 48% of them think that race relations are worse now than they were in the last few years. But here's the one that I don't quite understand. Maybe someone can call in and explain it to me. So one of the polls put to Republicans was if Donald Trump, which candidate in the general election would you be most likely to vote for, right? Out of all the Republicans. And they picked Ted Cruz, but Donald Trump won. They voted for Trump in the primary, but would prefer to vote for Ted Cruz in the general election.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
I would usually vote in the primary for the person I would vote for
later on.
For president. Yeah.
Right. This is,
that's just me. Call me crazy.
Exit polls show that Republicans in New York may have voted overwhelmingly for Trump in the primary, but if he is the candidate in the general election, they would have preferred to have voted for Cruz. So they are thinking ahead to themselves in November. Okay. So I was trying to figure out, like, what other situation would this be like? Like, if I was in a restaurant and looking at a menu and I can't decide between maybe a filet mignon and maybe a roasted chicken dish of some sort.
It right? sounds like, though, you did decide you want one more.
Yes, I picked it. But then the waiter comes out and says, I brought you the chicken instead. Is that okay? And I'd be like, you know what? I actually wanted the chicken. I don't know, Esmeralda, is there any other comparison you can think of? Because
I do that, but that's only because I feel bad.
You would just take the dish that was put in front of you?
Right.
And not
like,
correct them?
I like it anyway. It's okay.
Because it's possible this could happen in the general election in the fall.
Steve didn't want to go on the air, but he said that the reason why this happens is because the people that go out and vote for Trump really don't actually care about the election. They're just voting for Trump now because they're filled with the Trumpness at
right.
this time.
Well, that's what I'm trying to, again, I think that it's disturbing, not just for Republicans. I think for Americans who are concerned about our democracy, we should all be worried about the fact and upset about the fact that the Republican Party is potentially going to disenfranchise all the people who are saying they want Donald Trump to be their candidate. If he is mathematically the winner, if he should be the presumptive candidate, the presidential candidate for the GOP, Why would you then turn your back on the people who say, because the people who are voting for Donald Trump say they want an outsider, but then he may not get that chance because the people who are on the inside of the Republican Party who say that they stand for American civil rights, right, for their constitutional rights, they're going to take that away from them.
Right.
Okay.
And then if he does get the nominee, they don't want to vote for him.
I don't understand. And also, there are people like there are representatives, there are senators who are saying, who are encouraging their candidates in Washington, D.C. to distance themselves from him, because there's also a lot of local races. So that in order, because they're worried that people won't come out and vote if it's, I don't quite understand what's happening. You know, let me take this break and see if I can wrap my mind around. Now I want steak. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm joined by Sam Hedionovich. I'm excited to see you. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You look dapper. You always look very nice.
I appreciate it.
When you come from the United States.
No, I have two extremes. I have either baseball cap, hoodie, or I have suit coat, nice pants, and dress shoes. There's no middle ground when I'm in here.
When you go out to eat, and yes, it's like, let's say a restaurant says, do you check for what the attire is suggested at a restaurant?
If
like,
I'm going
like an
out
open table or something?
In public, absolutely.
You check it out. What does smart casual mean to you? Am I smart casual?
Of course.
Okay.
Smart casual, I guess, would probably be, I mean, everybody's wearing sport coat, dress shirt, jeans now, right?
I guess,
and
right.
And nobody knows whether they should tuck the shirt in or not.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, smart casual seems like it could still be jeans, but a nice top.
Tuck
in the shirt.
But don't wear big shirts.
No, some people don't tuck it in, though, right? I mean,
well,
you see people that... Exactly.
And what's the tucked in the front and out in the back thing going on?
I've never done that. That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. Craig's trying to figure out what... Do you check out the suggested attire for a restaurant, Craig?
Do I seem like the kind of guy that checks out the attire at a restaurant? I do not.
This came up in a conversation with a friend.
Did it?
We were trying to find somewhere to eat, and they were like, well, they were wearing sweats, and he checked something out, and he goes, no, we probably can't go there.
Last week, Stephanie had invited us to go meet the president of somewhere.
Ecuador.
Ecuador, thank you. And I almost showed
up. And then there was
an
earthquake, by the way.
I almost showed up in jeans to that until I read on the little invite right before walking in the door that it was business attire only, and I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to this now.
Oh, no.
But I wanted to go in jeans.
You didn't.
Were they dark jeans?
No, they were just regular blue jeans, Wrangler.
No, yeah. Honest question, Craig. How many times have you been in a restaurant that says no sandals and you had sandals on?
I don't wear sandals. I'm not that
bad.
Oh,
you don't? Okay.
No, I've never done sandals.
I've never seen his toes, and I am so happy about that.
That's good. Okay. Some people, they
no,
wear sandals
nice
way
toes
too much.
They're
I believe
good
you, but I don't need to see your toes, Craig.
That's fine. I'm not going to show them to you.
All right,
but they're
then
nice. Don't worry.
I'm sorry for, you know, chronicling you as a sandals guy.
No, it's fine. I'm from Jersey, so I get it. I get where you're going there. But no, I'm not. I've never done sandals. I do the casual shirt, though, and the jeans. I do that almost all my life.
Mm,
and
yeah,
a baseball hat.
And
like,
a baseball.
You know, like you said.
I've only been out once where we were turned away. Have you ever been turned away from an establishment because you were not properly dressed?
No.
Okay.
I've been turned away for other reasons.
I was escorted out of the lobby of the Ritz-Carlton in London because I was wearing jeans. In the lobby, I was staying at the Ritz. And the doorman walked up to me and basically was shielding me with his coat. And so that I was not allowed to be in the lobby. And all I had packed were, like, I had brown jeans and blue jeans. So I had
did
to go shopping.
Did he try and push you out of the hotel, too, or just the bar?
No, the lobby. It was, like, from the door to the elevator, I couldn't walk unescorted by the doorman.
And then he was real British.
He was
I'm
very
sure
British about it. And I was like, what's happening? And so
I feel like you can make those guys laugh. You know, the guys in the red coats. I feel like you can make them laugh. If anybody can do it here, it's you.
I can't remember my response to him, but I ended up at an Ann Taylor buying a pair of like discounted sales slacks that were too long. And I asked someone behind the counter for a pair her stapler and had to staple the hem of these pairs. So staples in slacks are fine.
Can I get a judge's ruling real quick on what the difference is between real British and just like regular British?
I think that the sort of hoity-toity doorman that
okay, so that's
tells
extra
a,
British.
That's extra British.
Got it.
Yeah, I think cool. I think Sam's right about that. Can I get him to loosen up a little bit?
I feel like you could get them. You would say something. They might not laugh. They might just be shocked. You know, like, wow, she went there, you know? Like, but I feel like, you know, you'd get them to at least blink. Because they don't even, like, I've been, my parents took us there. When we were in, I think I was in fifth grade, we went to London. We were very lucky. And these guys don't even move a muscle.
No.
They don't flinch.
You're talking about the beef eaters?
No. I'm talking about the guys that guard Buckingham Palace.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Wait, what did you call it?
Beef eaters.
They're called beef eaters?
Like the gin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure, yeah. They don't show emotion. I wonder, are they like that at home? You know, like right, when somebody makes dinner for them?
That would be a great reality show. The palace guards at home. Like the right,
he's got
the real palace guards of
he's
London.
He's got Tourette's at home, but at work he's perfect. Yeah.
Am I wrong about calling them beef eaters? You're making me question
that. Absolutely not. They are for sure beef eaters.
That picture is on the gin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's now.
It's not
like,
the same.
They're like
no?
They're yeoman warders, mm-hmm. something like that, and then they're commonly known as beef eaters. I have Googled this.
All right, then. Thank you.
Yeah. We're doing this because we don't want to get into the Blackhawks, right? That's the whole point of this.
Dude,
is that, why we're
we're not going to talk about that.
Veering off the track.
Yep.
That I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Oh, wait,
much.
But those are the different ones.
Yeah, I think those are the ones in the Tower of London.
Oh,
yeah,
got it. Okay.
We're talking about the ones with the big hat. Yeah,
no,
I don't know what those are.
They're the warders of Her Majesty's Royal Palace
right.
and Fortress of the Tower of London.
Correct.
Members of the Sovereign's Bodyguard of the Yeoman Guard Extraordinary, popularly
known as.
You and I are on the same Wikipedia page.
Yeah, well, it actually
oh,
just
so
pops up on
Google.
They're
all the same.
Yeah. Oh. Sam, did you come to talk about the Blackhawks?
No.
Were you at the game?
Patty just said we're going to talk about whatever I feel like, and here we are.
I mean, those guys are in black and red.
Yeah, they have more of the sort of flared coat looking thing. Mm. That's why. So yeah,
they didn't look like that.
No, these are different. We're talking about different
ones.
Do
you think that Patty would do a better job at making one of these guys laugh or a Blackhawk laugh right now?
Oh.
Nobody's laughing in that
Blackhawks
locker room. Nobody.
Well, there's more going on in that locker room than we've even talked about at all. Did you see any of this? There's other stuff that's going to be.
No,
I don't know what the conversation's going to be like, and I know Sam was like he's trying to figure out whether or not he wants to get into it or not. Let's start with this. The moment we scored first, right? The Blackhawks, did they score the first?
No,
goal?
St. Louis scored first. Tarasenko
we did not score first.
Made it 1-0, and then Shaw in the second period made it 1-1.
Okay,
and then the Hawks took a 2-1 lead. Duncan Keith scored on the power play. So for the second game in a row on home ice, the Blackhawks had a 2-1 lead.
Okay.
Couldn't hold it in game three. And today, it's St. Louis again. They go ahead and they score three in a row. Just that's it.
There was a moment during the second period where someone said that one of the announcers was talking about how many shots the Blackhawks had taken. I think it was like 13-5 at the time, but obviously had not had the better results at getting a goal.
The Hawks had way more shots, but the Blues had better chances. And I think, you know, this is something that has always been a staple since at least I've been around the team. This would be, if they got bounced in this round, that would be the quickest exit I've ever been a part of at this station. So it's new to me at the same time because I only know them as champions or perennial contenders, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a Blackhawks team making this many crucial mistakes
right.
at the worst possible time. Like if you saw the game tonight, Trevor Van Riemsdyk is at center ice. The Blackhawks are down by a goal. It's late in the third period. You know, you got to be on your P's and Q's here. He throws a pass across the middle of the ice to his defenseman, his partner. It gets picked off by Alex Steen, or I'm sorry, Jaden Schwartz, who comes all. Oh, no, it was Steen. Picks it up, and he's on a breakaway on Crawford, and he scores. I mean, Blackhawks teams of years past don't make mistakes like that. They don't commit penalties at inopportune times. And it's just been the improper mistake at the wrong time.
Is it because they're not as talented, or what's the reason that they're doing this?
It's a great question. It's a great question. I'm not so sure, Craig. I think, you know, they lost a lot of depth. They lost Oduya. They're really playing like 3.5 defensemen.
Right.
You lost Patrick Sharp, who was so good in the playoffs of scoring goals. I mean, and right now, Patty, we talked about this last week. You know, do you like the Blackhawks against the Blues? On paper, the Blackhawks are a better team. But if you look at the paper right now after game four, no goals for Taves, no goals for Kane, no goals for Hossa, no goals for Andrew Ladd, who they traded for at the deadline, and he was going to be the missing piece. That's four huge goose eggs there for some of your guys you thought were going to carry you through.
Right.
The Blues' best players have been better, and their goaltender has been playing out of his mind, Brian Elliott. So it's just, it's a culmination of a lot of bad things going against the Blackhawks right now. Not to mention the puck luck. Double cross post in game three, hit off the post, hit off the other post. And today, did you see the puck that like slid all the way to the line?
I saw the one that we did get that kind of like looked like it bounced off of somebody and then over the goalie's, over Elliott's shoulder.
Well, initially the Hawks had scored a goal. It looked like it was a goal, but the puck didn't cross the red line. It has to go all the way across the line.
The
and it laid like it was still touching the red.
Ugh.
So they reviewed it. No goal. It's just been no bounces, and the Blues' better players have been better.
Well, Duncan Keith is sort of a highlight in all this. If he played in game one, is this a 2-2 series?
Oh, interesting question.
Hypothetical.
I'm just curious because he's done so well, and he's actually scoring goals for a defenseman. I mean, I know he's got a lot.
He scored two tonight.
Yeah. So
he leads the team in goals.
Yeah.
Could have been. He's the best defenseman in hockey.
Or is he playing this hard because he had the time off?
Well, and no one else is picking up any of this.
He was rested for six games, and a lot of people talked about him getting a chance to finally just not skate for 20 minutes a night, 30 minutes a night.
It's like unleashing him, right?
A little bit. He's got a lot of energy, and he's always been a guy that's been a fitness buff, so I'm sure he appreciates the rest. He probably didn't like to be suspended, but he looks fresh. He looks like he's sharp out there.
Maybe they do. They have hyperbaric oxygen chambers at the United Center for the Blackhawks?
They need to get those.
Something like that.
They need to hang out in the Cubs dugout. The Cubs
at the boogie room, their ballroom.
Right. Those guys still drink those nasty shakes. I don't know what color they are.
Who does? The Blackhawks?
Most of the players on the team have smoothies, and they're all sort of concocted in a way that is best for your body, like the right vitamins and nutrients and everything.
Like individualized?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so they've had like some sort of like a blood evaluation.
Hossa guzzles this stuff. It looks like baby food. Slushy, you know, and he's guzzling this thing. And Taves is always all green.
I just imagine like pureed chicken in there, and
Kane's is always brown, and it looks so
chocolate. He's going with chocolate.
So gross.
You don't know. Might be amazing.
I'm curious. I have more hypotheticals. So if win
Patrick
game
Sharp
five,
was still here, would they be in a better spot?
If they win game five, do you think it's definitely going seven?
Yes, I'm going to answer that.
Okay,
if they win game five, it goes seven.
Okay, that's fine.
And in order to do that, do you think that some of the star players are going to have to pick it up? Are we going to see goals from a Kane or a Taves?
And Joel Quenneville had said that everybody needs to be better. The best players have to be better. You need to get some production from your money players. Your money players are the ones that have gotten you through the tough times. I was waiting for Patrick Kane tonight to do something. I was waiting for it. And you're almost taking it for granted. Because these guys have done it so many times in years past. They've come through. They were down 3-1 to Detroit, come back and win that series. They were down against Boston. They've been down against Nashville. They've been down against the Blues. I mean, we go back to those past experiences, and we think that it's going to happen again because it's an easy thing to do. You know what the hardest thing to do in sports is? Repeat. Win a championship 2 years in a row.
Have we? We've always won one and then turned around.
It hasn't happened since the Red Wings did in the late 90s.
Really?
No team has won back-to-back cups. They say that, right, Craig? The hardest trophy to win in sports is the Stanley Cup.
Right.
You know how hard it is to win, I think, 2 years in a row?
Are we the closest to a dynasty that they've seen in the last 20 years?
In the modern era with the salary cap, yes.
Every other year?
Three and six. Some people say dynasties have to be consecutive. I mean, they're modern era dynasty in quotation marks.
Those are huge quotation marks to use. Those are clawed into the air quotation marks.
Yeah.
You're digging that in.
I got in an argument about that. Like, what is a dynasty? And, you know.
What are you doing on Thursday for the next game? Are you going to watch it at a bar? Are you going to St. Louis? What are you doing?
I will be at a White Sox game that starts at 1:10. So I'll be done about
five. But
the game
is not until. Yeah, but the game is.
I'll be done. Yeah, I don't have any plans yet. I haven't thought that far.
We're going to go see a play.
During the game?
Yeah. Is that you throwing
the white flag, or are you so confident that they're going to win game?
Well, we'll be out of the game. We'll be out of the theater by 9 o'clock.
So you'll catch
most of the game.
You'll walk in. They're going to drop the puck at 8:45.
Yeah,
or something.
We'll still be in the first period.
Yeah.
Yes, Craig?
It'll be fine. From the 2:05, give the Blues some credit. They've played extremely well. I hate to say it, but they seem to be smarter and faster.
Oh, I think you've done more than give them credit. You're
absolutely saying that. They're better players. or their best players have been better. And that sounds kind of silly to say, and it sounds like, you know, I'm a third grader when I say that, but their guys that are supposed to be scoring goals are scoring goals, and the Blackhawks guys that are supposed to be scoring goals aren't. And about being smarter, I think that's more – it's not so much smart, it's just discipline. Not committing a – like Patrick Kane in Game 3 lifting somebody's stick and – you know, the stick hit the guy in the face and it drew blood. Like, you can't make that mistake. Duncan Keith's penalty tonight, you can't make that mistake. The Blues aren't making the big mistake, and they're scoring crucial goals in the clutch.
Well, I don't know.
I was a little curious.
I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
Totally fine. I was a little curious that Coach Q said that he didn't think that all the calls were necessarily being fair, that they're not all equal. I know that the call at the end on Shaw – I guess that could be a little bit borderline, but what else is he talking about that you've seen? Do you think that this is not really being called fairly?
Wasn't there a goal? I heard the Blackhawks score a goal on over the weekend. It's great. I love listening to Blackhawks games, by the way, because it is intense. And I was very excited, and then that goal seemed to have not counted. Do you recall that?
I thought that was tonight when they had a goal that they thought it was a goal, but the official blew the whistle, which stops the play.
Right, regardless of where
anything after the whistle doesn't count. So
the puck's on its way to the goal?
Well, the puck was loose. The puck wasn't, like, if it's a loose puck, you're not supposed to blow the whistle. You blow the whistle if the goalie's on top of the puck. This puck was loose, and it was sort of like about to cross through the line.
It was gliding.
He lost control, lost sight of it. The official blew the whistle. I think the puck, that was when, like, if they would have let it keep playing, they could have swatted at it and knocked it in, but...
What was it? Was there a call on the whistle or just a whistle for losing?
They just said the puck was frozen. So they didn't allow progress in the play. And Quenneville, he does this from time to time. He will jump up on top of the bench and stand, like, you know, shaking his arms in anger. And, like, his face goes white. His mustache kind of curls over on the side. Like, he is angry. And you saw that tonight. He wasn't happy with them calling that.
I would not want to make him angry. 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets to give away for New Country at the Den Theater. Join us. We're going to get out of the theater during the first period. We'll figure out somewhere to go watch the rest of the game together. Maybe we could ask the Den Theater if we could bring in a screen. They have a great lobby. It's literally like your living room. It's the Den Theater. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We have a pair of tickets for Mark Roberts. He's the former head writer of Two and a Half Men. He's the creator of the TV series, successful TV series, Mike and Molly. He has a great new show, a new play called New Country at the Den Theater. We have pretty late night on Thursday. I know it's during the Blackhawks game. I didn't put all that together, but come join us. Again, 312-981-7200 for a pair of free tickets. More after this with Sam Panionovich on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, joined by Sam Panionovich. Do we want to talk about the contract? I guess I wasn't going to, but because I don't think that lip reading is going to get us anywhere until we have more information. But you're saying that there's more to the conversation about Andrew Shaw possibly yelling something. First, he flips the birds at the. I think his glove just got stuck with his fingers in the last position.
I think it's clear what he's trying to do there. You know, you don't shake your fist like that and throw up your pinky. I mean,
his pinky.
You know,
maybe he's like, this is how you drink wine, with your pinkies up.
Not with that face. Right. And I guess there's a prominent social rights group that is affiliated with the NHL. They're going to plan to reach out to the league and...
Because they read Andrew Shaw's lips.
Yeah, and okay. they're gonna try. There are people pushing for Andrew Shaw to be suspended for a game. That's the push. I'm not reporting that.
I don't think that.
That is that seems that is what this group is reportedly going to go after.
When you're in the heat of a game, I mean, like, at what point do we decide what you can? I mean, you know, clearly there's a lot of cussing on the ice.
It's a tough issue for me. I mean, like you said, you don't have the audio. First of all,
you don't have the audio,
and. I mean, Andrew Shaw just got whacked in the face with a stick, you know, and like he's probably pretty angry. So I don't know. I'm not defending what he said, but nobody's ever hit me in the face with a wooden object.
Hold on a second. Let me find something. I don't have anything to hit him with.
You know what I'm saying?
Do you have anything I can hit him with?
Craig, what would you do if I hit you in the face with a hockey stick?
I would be upset with you, Sam.
I mean, maybe you say something. Maybe you say something you regret.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe.
I'm not defending what he said, but I mean, you know, picture yourself being that angry, and, you know, you'd probably say something stupid, too. Now, that word choice is wrong, and you shouldn't say that.
But it means that it's in your, I guess what they're angry about is that it's in his rotation.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it is.
If it is what he said, we don't know what he said.
Right.
Because we have no audio. We have a GIF.
Yeah, so I'm going to try and Stop talking about it.
I mean, I feel like mouthing something to Craig, but then it would make no sense on the radio.
Yeah, that's not going to work in the air. None of the listeners will pick that up.
Esmeralda, can you turn your mic off and mouth something to us, yeah, and let's see if we can figure out what you're saying?
Say words.
Okay.
No, but you have to turn to the right. We have to. Yeah, there we go. Now, yeah, we can see.
Okay.
No,
why wouldn't I?
Tell Sam Panjanovich what you really think.
Wait, to really get a full effect, though, Esmeralda, you also have to hit yourself with something in the face.
Yes. Please hit yourself first.
And then immediately react to it.
Yes. This is that Fun with Esmeralda on WGNRadio.com and the live stream.
I couldn't tell what she was saying. I don't know. I can't.
Yeah,
I saw terrible. She said terrible. Wow.
This is the stupidest thing I've ever had to do for you guys.
I think she ordered a mudslide.
Did she order a mudslide? Really.
So yeah. we're trying to lip read what Esmeralda is saying, and I saw the word terrible.
Good job.
Really?
I said, this is terrible.
Oh,
wow.
And I called you guys dummies.
Esmeralda is thus suspended.
Now
one
wait,
show.
Yes. Now, she wait, is... though. Did you order a mudslide?
No.
Okay. Oh. All
right. Now I want a mudslide. I need a mudslide and a steak now.
Yeah.
But is
I don't think I've ever had a mudslide.
Is that Kahlua and Bailey's? What is
correct,
that?
Yeah. Kahlua and Bailey's.
That seems like... And cream.
No mud.
There's no mud in the mudslide.
It just seems muddy.
Yeah.
You might lay in the mud afterwards. Right. What's your drink of choice when you go out for a cocktail?
Tequila.
Just tequila?
No, I like tequila. I probably drink a little vodka soda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's drinks are getting so fancy now, aren't they?
Getting expensive, too.
They're getting very expensive.
You walk in any place around here.
It's 12 bucks.
It's between 10 and 12.
Yeah.
So
what's why we go hang out at the Billy Goat?
Billy Goat is
drinking a shot.
A lot better on the pocketbook. That's for sure. I don't have a pocketbook, but
if you had a pocketbook, do men don't carry around, but they have wallets. Do you
wallets.
Have a money clip?
No, just no. A wallet.
All right, then. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our very own Sam Panjanovich, who is at the Blackhawks game tonight, the United Center. Before we go on, where did you grow up again?
113th and Ewing, southeast side.
So we're going to be at the Sox game on Thursday.
You are?
I said. You were going to be at the Sox game on Thursday.
I'll be there Wednesday and Thursday for work.
I'm sure it'll be a struggle. Are you not a Sox fan?
I am. You know that, though.
I know.
Are you baiting me? What is
I'm
this?
I'm not baiting you at all. I was saying earlier, we need more of a Sox voice on this show, because I'm a Cubs fan. Craig's a Yankees fan.
Yes.
Esmeralda,
we really need another Yankee voice at this station, I think. That is me. Oh, no! She's throwing stuff at me again. Yeah.
And then every so time often. You have Carmen on, he's got him winning the World Series. You know, every year he's got him winning the World Series. So,
well, you have to admit this year we're off to a very nice
start. The favorites this year.
What's the Sox record right now?
I believe they're 9-5 because they won again tonight.
They're doing well.
Cubs are 11-3.
I am not going to be in town tomorrow. By the way, I want to invite everybody to a fun little experience that I am going to be participating in with the Illinois Corn Board. The corn. It's I'm going out to the middle.
You said corn, right?
Corn. The corn. Illinois Corn Marketing Board has invited me to participate in the beginning of planting season. So I am going down to a farm. I'm going down to Justin Darden's farm, and I'm going to help him plant corn.
Where is
it? But apparently
farm?
Most of it is done by computers now.
Where?
It's near Utica. It's near Peru, Illinois.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Starved Rock.
Yes, that area.
Ish.
I was going to stay at Starved Rock. Funny story. Should I tell a story about Starved Rock, the lodge there?
Yeah, sure.
I called them and told them I would love to broadcast from their lodge. And they were very excited. I told them I was at WGN. I'm pretty sure I said WGN Radio. This happens, I think, to every single one of us right now. We say we're from WGN Radio. No one hears the radio part, and they're like, I watch WGN all the time. I'm on the radio.
Tell Skilling I said hi. Yeah. I love Robin.
Exactly.
Robin's great.
And we do, too.
Yeah, I think Robin's great, too. I never met her in my life.
And I got a call from their... from one of their salespeople, because I told them I would love to use a conference room. None of their rooms have Ethernet. I need an Ethernet hardline to broadcast my show from the road. And I said, I would love to broadcast from the Starved Rock Lodge. You guys have a beautiful place. It's it's great to go hiking around there. Would love to talk about you guys. And she called me back, and she was all excited. Couldn't wait to have us. And then I said, I need a conference room from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. She's like, let me see what I can do. I get an email back that says, we have a conference room for you. We look forward to having you. Oh, by the way, my CEO wants to know, why in the world do you want to broadcast from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.? So I thought I was being polite when I emailed back, that's what time my show is on. And then I sent a link to WGNRadio.com with our schedule. and my name on the schedule. And they emailed back and they said, we cannot accommodate your request at this time.
Wow.
I was like,
that is so confusing.
I don't know what,
right?
What
you
happened.
Booked it. It was all booked.
But now, is that
but
is that discrimination? Is that discrimination against you or the time slot
or the station
or the station?
Well, here's what the woman emailed next. I said, thank you for considering it. Sorry, it's not going to work out. I didn't ask why because I was like, they've made up their minds. It seemed like we'd had an open conversation and then it was closed. I said, thank you very much. It was a pleasure to meet you on the phone, was what I said to her. She emailed back. She goes, you too. It was great talking to a fellow Spring Valley girl. That never came up in the conversation. I'm not from Spring Valley.
What is Spring Valley?
I have no idea.
It is a city in Illinois.
It is.
Okay.
So I started wondering, like, did she get mad at me after we got off the phone, or did someone there get mad because they confused me with somebody who's from Spring Valley?
I don't know.
So I just emailed her back and I said, yes, go Tigers.
We are not sure if Spring Valley has a team that is Tiger related.
No, making up crazy,
yeah.
I thought I would just crazy right back at her.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what happened. That's the exchange.
Spring Valley is in Bureau County, Illinois.
Okay.
It is part of the Ottawa Streeter area.
Do they have any Tigers there?
Do they have Tigers?
I mean, as a sports team or really a zoo?
Go Spring Valley Tigers.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Quiz to both of you. Spring Valley population, go.
5,000.
492.
People?
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems a little low.
I don't know.
The odds of you being a fellow Spring Valley girl are terrible.
I don't know.
Craig got it.
5,000?
5,500.
Oh,
nice.
Go.
In the 2010 census, so maybe nothing. Six. No. Maybe five. You never know.
Right.
You never know how the economy
is.
I
have to update my numbers. That is great.
That was a good guess, unless you already looked that up.
I did not.
Okay, good.
I would never
I believe you.
I'm not from Spring Valley, and I will not be broadcasting from Starved Rock. So because I could not figure out tomorrow night's accommodations.
Been.
Yes, I could have been.
Right.
I'll be taking tomorrow night off.
Had they given you a conference room at, say, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, could you have just kept it? Would they have kicked you out
That's
at some
point?
That's
a good question, right.
Like, next time, reserve it at 6:30.
Right.
And then just sit there.
Yeah, I wasn't asking for any special privileges. I wasn't even asking for it, by the way. I wasn't asking for it for free.
And they were so excited.
They were.
Right.
She started telling me about local ag radio guy.
It'd be so great.
And she's like, we'd love to talk to you about the amenities we have here. And I was like, that'd be great. But I can't tell you about the amenities because they have denied my request to
Maybe
broadcast.
Maybe because it's nighttime and they're like, we're not there.
Yeah, I don't know.
We want to be on TV.
And I've Right. And I've done this from locations all over the country. So, yes, including conference rooms in the middle of the night.
This is not the only time, though, you've been told that there were no conference rooms available from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
The Abraham Lincoln Hotel in Springfield.
I'm sorry. We're all booked up.
I had done one
Those
night
hours.
There. I had done one night with them, and I had paid for the room. It was the night that we did an 8-minute broadcast after the quadruple overtime with the Blackhawks.
Okay.
And so I did the broadcast from there for 8 minutes. It was fun. And I paid for the whole 3 hours. The next time I emailed her, asked her if there was a room available for me to broadcast. She goes, all of our rooms are reserved. I said, at 11 o'clock at night? She said, yes. I said, wow, congratulations. You guys are so busy. You must, I don't know how you booked every, they have I would say maybe 10 conference rooms on the second floor of the Abraham Lincoln in Springfield.
There's no way more than two are occupied.
I went there because the Blackhawks were again playing, and none of the rooms were occupied at 11 o'clock at night.
I used to work in a hotel. We used to have, I worked on Michigan Avenue. I'm not going to give the name, but we had multiple floors of ballrooms, and at the latest, somebody was in there until 9 o'clock, and that's downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say it's a little more populous than Springfield. There's more going on in Chicago. There's just more people. There's more restaurants and everything, more hotels. There's no way that you would fill all those rooms at 11 o'clock at night.
I took selfies in front of every single door.
Real quick, I'm now down the rabbit hole here. There are 5 Patricia Vasquez's in Spring Valley, California.
Yes.
So maybe.
Oh, maybe she's from California.
Yeah, maybe
that's
she's
more likely.
And there's a Spring Valley Bar and Grill in Elizabeth, Colorado.
In Elizabeth, Colorado? Really?
Have you ever been there?
I have not.
Maybe you guys had a drink one night.
Maybe she thought you worked there.
I don't know.
Spring Valley girl.
All I know is I'm going to plant corn.
Spring Valley girl.
I'm a Spring Valley
What do you say there when somebody is so confident that you're somebody that you're not? What do you do?
I just played along. But not along the same lines. I just was like, go Tigers.
From the 773, you now need to broadcast from Spring Valley. That is true.
I do need to broadcast from Spring Valley.
And you should invite all your friends.
I will never broadcast from Starved Rock. Even though I love Starved Rock, I can't broadcast from Starved Rock.
Okay.
Because they cannot accommodate me.
Right.
Can you do it outside of Starved Rock?
Yeah, can you pirate radio it?
Will you guys let me do it Wi-Fi? I can use my phone as a hotspot.
You can Periscope it.
Yeah. Okay, so
Facebook Live the whole show. Oh, yes. Awesome.
Thank you for bringing it back, by the way. On Thursday, we'll be live periscoping our beginning of planting season at this farm. We're going to be with farmer Justin Durden, and we are periscoping at 12:30 on Thursday. So I want everyone to, and I'll be taking all of your questions. We're doing a 360 video. Have you seen any of these 360 videos?
No.
Pretty cool. And so actually, I wonder if that means it'll be available in virtual reality. You can watch the planting season. They're going to let me drive a tractor. Okay, ride in one. Maybe not drive one, but I'll be periscoping the whole thing on Thursday at 12:30. And again, thank you to farmer Justin Durden, who's letting me hang out and ask all kinds of annoying questions because I know nothing about farming. The city girl's going to be on the farm. What should I wear? That's a weird question.
Don't ask me.
What did you say?
Pants.
Jeans. I was thinking jeans and a top.
Yep. Yeah, no, topless.
Jeans and no top. That'd be a different video.
I would go flannel, little flannel.
That's what they said. He'll be wearing a flannel.
Do you have a hat?
But see, for a video, I don't think I should be wearing
a hat. Maybe a plaid.
A plaid?
Not a flannel, but a plaid.
But that's what I meant. I'm sorry, Esmeralda. Yeah, like a plaid.
How about flowers? Yeah. I have a nice one that has like little flower. Like,
on the farm? No. I don't think so.
How about solids? Maybe just solids. Like a button-down solid shirt.
I think the plaid's a good idea, and you can get a hat. And especially if it's going to be hot out, you're going to get fried.
I think it's only in the 60s on Thursday. Oh, okay. I should probably check with Skilling. We're hoping it doesn't rain.
Text him. We should wake him up.
I should look at I'm going to look at my rundown and tell you what my planting day is going to be like on Thursday.
What
I'm getting up at 5 a.m.
What are you planting?
Corn.
Oh, yeah, that's right, corn.
Yeah, this is all corn. And Illinois turns on homegrown corn.
Now, do you have to go back and monitor your plant?
I am. I'm going back altogether. I'm going 4 or 5 times. We'll be there during the planting season, growing season, harvesting, all that.
Everyone can see corn with Patty on Thursday.
See corn with Patty
with Patty.
Do you get to harvest your bits of corn and eat them?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
That's probably the last one.
Right?
You go back for the feast.
I want to feast. I'm going to feast on this whole field.
And you can take a break.
Can I pick out my corn for the movie theater?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd popcorn. Be nice.
All right.
Can we also talk about my playoff beard when we come back?
Is that your
playoff?
Do you have a beard?
It is not good. I'm doing it. I made a friendly wager with a buddy. Whoever's got the best one at the end has to donate some.
Can we compare Sam and my playoff beards?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, this is Craig. I've never grown out past this point. It looks terrible.
This is it? Okay. This is as far as it goes?
I've never gone this far.
All right.
Never gone this far. Never gone like six
is
days ever.
Is there any
ever.
Beard there? I can't
No,
see
there's
it.
Not. Okay. There's not. I don't grow
he's
connectors.
Got, he's got patches.
It's all for a good cause. But the year that I actually try and do it, the Blackhawks are down 3-1.
See, now, if you had shaved that, I'd be very impressed if that was sort of the path that you decided to go. Like, no hair here, but hair to here.
No.
This is good radio. More after this on 720 WGN. Hey, Craig.
Hold on.
I'm
watching a commercial.
All right.
And I think I'm hearing the commercial. Hold on.
All right, I'm holding.
Hold on.
I'm trying to find Sam Panionovich's.
And then we got this part.
Jitterbug.
You're trying to find my jitterbug.
Your beard.
Can't find it.
There it is. Nailed it.
Authority.
Best bump I've ever played.
The Cubs are announcing their presence.
Professional show.
With authority.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. We're dancing.
Yeah, why not?
So our very good friend of the show, Kristen McAllister, made her debut on a series called Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox, and we're very excited for her. She moved out to Los Angeles just 2 years ago in pursuit of a career in acting. She'd been a successful actress here in Chicago. She was also she taught classes. You may have seen her. You've seen her in national commercials. She has a campaign right now that I want to ask her about. I don't know if we're going to get her live or if we're going to get her voicemail. Sometimes it's more fun to just get the voicemail. We have to call Sam Panionovich sometime in the middle of the night.
I'd answer, though. That's the thing.
You don't have to answer. Let us leave you a voicemail. You can answer.
Okay.
You choose. You don't have to feel the pressure of answering. It's as much fun to leave you a message as it is to... hold on a second. Let me see.
No, it's not. It's not even ringing.
It's not ringing?
I don't know what's going on.
Did I not give you enough numbers?
No, maybe our phone's broken.
773.
I'll figure it out.
All right, then. I'm not giving you the rest of it.
Keep going.
That would be bad. Should I give you James's and just congratulate her through James's number? That'd be tough for me to do. I can't. This is... Esmeralda, can we just call you and leave you a voicemail?
Esmeralda!
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now it's ringing. Hold
it just
on.
Goes to voicemail.
All right, cool.
I never pick it up.
Was that me talking? Is it ringing again? Oh, there
it was ringing. Yeah.
That would be an extremely quick pickup.
It has the fastest.
She's like, she's just waiting for it. Oh, they're calling.
Hello.
This is just call her with
exciting.
Them. What time do they call teachers when they're going to substitute the next day? Do they get phone calls or do they get?
Oh, like emergency subbing?
Yeah,
that has to be
Hi,
as soon as they find out.
Hi, McAllister. Leave a message.
Oh, she has. She has her voice in the outgoing message.
The tone. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Kristen McAllister. It's Patty Vasquez.
And Craig Collins.
And Esmeralda Leon.
Sam Panionovich. Hi.
Want to say congratulations on your appearance on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and you have a whole series of Maytag selfies.
Whoa.
There's a campaign from Maytag. If you take a selfie with your appliance, you might win a Maytag. So
that's amazing.
I think it's an online. What to find out from her, but I think it's an online campaign.
Now, assuming that you're best friends with Andy Samberg, we would like to have you come on the show with him.
Get his phone number at least so we can
we
leave him a wake-up call. Yes.
We will not say we got it from you.
No, we would promise. Never. We might.
And we'll burn this audio.
Yes.
This we won't.
This never happened.
No,
no
one heard
no
this.
Evidence.
Can you burn digital audio?
Hey now, Sam.
Hey, let's not get picky.
Let's not get into all the minutiae of the idea.
The complicated details.
Right. Yada, yada, yada. It's all burned.
So apparently she had a... This is all happening, Sam.
Yeah,
it's not
real.
Going anywhere.
This is awesome.
We're not making
this.
A gif of anything. This is actually for reals.
Uh-huh.
By the way, so she was on Code... apparently she yells Code Silver. It looks like she's playing a nurse. I didn't have a chance to watch this yet. But Kristen McAllister was on tonight's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's also been in the series Love, which was on Netflix. And again, she's on the Maytag. Oh, I'm going to see her next week.
Hopefully she'll get on one of the Chicago shows. You know, Chicago Fire, Chicago Police, Chicago Lamp Post. that one comes out next fall.
Streets and Sands.
On NBC.
I don't know when they're going to do Streets and Sands. Hey, did you hear that story that Steve Grzinich is going to do about the new lights for Chicago? The mayor is going to replace all of our street lamps. It's supposed to be with LEDs. Now look at these. See, these lights are nice.
I'm sure that'll be cheap.
Not only cheap, but do you think he's going to do it right is my concern. Because LEDs are nasty. A lot of people call and complain during It Ought to Be a Law that people's headlights were too bright. It's because of these new LED lights. And I don't think that my selfies are going to be improved at all at night with LED lights outside.
And then some areas get them and some don't. So you're
right.
Not going to make
it's
everybody
gonna be consistent.
Happy. I mean, you're going to put them same place downtown as you would in other areas, probably.
Right,
not.
And then he's probably going to close some of the lights, and that's just going to be ridiculous.
He's going to close 50 lights.
Right, you have to tell Kristen lights. About your event.
I have an event coming up. I'm going to be on Periscope.
Yeah.
Hey, Kristen, you can watch me, too. I'll watch you on Brooklyn Nine-Nine if you watch me on Periscope on Thursday at 12:30. And everybody else, please. And you can. The thing about Periscope is that you can also, like, live... live questions, and we will be answering them live as we learn how to farm. We're going to learn how to plant corn. I'm going to be with farmer Justin Durden. I think it's his farm is near, it's in between Peru and Utica, near Starved Rock and that area.
Near where you grew up in Spring Valley.
In Spring Valley, exactly. And you can also follow us on Twitter at IL Farm Families. Again, that's at IL Illinois Farm Families. And you can hashtag 360 corn. We're going to plant corn, Esmeralda. I'm gonna plant. You know, I'm gonna name one. I'm gonna name a seed, Esmeralda, and plant it in your name.
Aww.
Can I do that?
That sounds amazing.
It's gonna be your stock of corn.
Right.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll let me put like a little name plaque.
I hope it doesn't die.
Are you gonna name it Esmeralda? Or are you gonna go with like a nickname, like Ez's corn?
Esmeralda's corn.
Okay.
The full name.
It's a deserves, catchy name.
Deserves so all of her glory. I wonder if I can do that. I don't know if farmer Justin Durden will.
And then one day it'll get eaten by a lovely family.
You're the corn queen. You can make all these rules.
I'm the corn queen.
Yeah, aren't you for a day? You're corn queen for a day.
I'll name the tractor after you, Craig.
Okay.
You should wear green and yellow.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you mix too much with the corn?
And with the equipment.
I've seen a corn costume at Party City before.
There you go.
We can get you one of those. We can hook you up.
There you go.
That one's better than the ketchup and mustard. Costume. I hate that costume.
Oh, and then the guy after the Cubs games dresses a hot dog that says, eat me. Do you not ever see? No, I saw him last week.
Is that like in a bad way or in a go eat hot dogs?
Go eat hot dogs kind of way. Yeah. But it doesn't seem appealing when a guy's wearing a sweaty hot dog costume.
Right. It's probably drunk at that point if it's after the game.
The meat and the bun references are all just very strange. Kristen McAllister, we had fun tonight, and I look forward to seeing you next week. We had sort of a weird, uneven night because
maximum time permitted.
Oh,
you're right.
If you were
the bigger celebrities have more room on their voicemail. I was just going to tell her about the primaries in the Blackhawks game, but apparently she's never going to find out. She'll be waiting on the edge of her seat wondering what happened next.
Hope they listen the whole way through.
People sometimes do.
I wonder how many have. I really am curious how many have listened to the entire thing.
Well, we're going to quiz them on it?
Yes.
All right, then.
Yeah, well, let's throw details toward the end when we think it's ending, and we'll ask them just for those things.
We can ask Senator Katowski what happened at the end of his voicemail, which would be the lovely tones of Vic Vaughn delivering the news, because we let the voicemail go.
We left it on. That was purposeful. Yeah. I don't know if anyone thought that was a mistake. Sorry, Vic. We did that on purpose. Yes.
Or you can have them just be like, at the end, you say, and now I want you to call me back and say bubbles and hang up.
Right? Say bubbles. Otherwise, this never happened.